I want to ask you about the New York Islanders. We don't spend a lot of time talking about maybe some Eastern teams, but I don't know if there's a team that's changed more than the Islanders have. They have a new goaltender. Mm-hmm. Their defense has changed. We know the bodies that they brought in up front. Of course, the two Yahoos out of Toronto, because they had to come in together. Garth Snow takes a lot of criticism, but he could not finish 30th with Buffalo owning his first-round pick this year, and it looks as though whatever he's done thus far might actually work.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you're right. He's been a punching bag for a lot of people, including me, because I think that he has done one terrible thing after another, and that he likely the main reason that he survived there as the general manager was because he was handpicked by the soon-to-be previous owner, because that franchise is obviously going through a transition at the top. And I think he needs to prove himself to the group coming in that he has the cred to be a viable, bona fide NHL general manager. And desperation is an interesting thing, too. I mean, you raised the Islanders. I looked at what's been going on in Edmonton, and a lot of similarities. You know, two franchises that once upon a time were fabulous and won a lot in the 80s. You know, we talked a lot about, in the last week about the Islanders as a foil for the Oilers when they won that Stanley Cup in 1984. And both facing really the same crises going into this season, needing to win because the fan base was starting to get get tired of the losing. And the Islanders went out and they remade their goaltending and they brought in Halak and Johnson. And the Oilers remade their goaltending and brought in Fasht and Scrivens. And if you look at the early results, why are the Islanders winning? Because their goaltending has been very good. You know, Halak has got the job done. Johnson's played a game. He was a terrific backup for Rask last year in Boston. They went out and signed him as a guy that they hoped could play 25 games. And when you have a backup goalie, you can't just throw him in as cannon fodder. He needs to go in there and win games. And so, that's the difference, as far as I'm concerned, between what's happened early in Long Island and early in Edmonton. I mean, the Islanders made those moves on Boychuk and Letty. That wasn't a lot different than the Oilers, going out and getting to Keaton and Fane. Both teams knew that they weren't good enough to win in the National Hockey League with the defense core that they had. But if you watched Edmonton play Arizona last night, Scrivens is having all kinds of problems handling the puck, communicating with his defense. Fasht was getting blown out, then he got hurt. I mean, it's a mess up in Edmonton. And with all of the same problems going into the season, they haven't seemed to have solved them. Whereas in Long Island, the goaltending's been good. Certainly Boychuk coming over from Boston, and the early returns are, what they gave up, a couple of second-round picks. That's been money well spent. This guy's evolving into a terrific defenseman and given a chance to play a greater role there. Looks like he's actually even going to produce some points now. So kudos to Garth Snow. And I have to say, knowing Tavares a little bit, a real, polite young man who I think has a lot going for him. I think that he's, a terrific leader for that team. And it looks to me like they're a playoff contender this year for sure.
So we've been discussing the Oilers' woes. And
it's hard to stay away. We talked about it last hour, but how do you not talk about it?
Well, I'm thinking to myself, are we going to talk about how well things are going in Calgary or how poorly things are going in Edmonton, or maybe a combination of both this morning?
Well, and it goes back to what do you do now?
Yeah. What do you do now?
Boomer asked me that.
I don't know what you do right now, other than, stay the course. I mean, it's so early. You don't have Nugent Hopkins there. I mean, you took a terrible chance, as far as I'm concerned, to go out and move your number two center and think that you were going to get somebody that can go in there and play as a second guy. Because let's face it, I mean, Nugent Hopkins is the one, and Gordon is the four, and they've got Arcobello in there, and they're counting on an 18-year-old kid. You can't count on an 18-year-old kid. You can hope that he can come into the National Hockey League and find a place and make a contribution. I mean, you need to do what Calgary did with Monahan last year, which is, bring him in and say, wow, he's showing that he can play, so let's keep him for the 10 games and then reassess and then move on. And, Monahan, for the most part, delivered last year. Certainly for the expectations that you put on an 18-year-old kid, he delivered. Well, now the whole season is riding on Dreisaitl being able to anchor your second line, and he looks like he's going to be a good player, but to expect to win right now with a kid at center and then Nugent Hopkins gets hurt, I mean, they just have this huge hole at the most important position in the game. Well, the goaltending is the most position, but you have to have strength down the middle, and they don't have it. They do not have it. So, Taylor Hall played his butt off last night and played very well, and Eberle wasn't bad. But if you have the kind of center ice core that they are icing right now, you can't win in the National Hockey League. So I guess what you have to do is wait for Nugent Hopkins to get back. You need to go home and lick your wounds and say, okay, we can be better than this. And then you've got to figure out who's going to play goal, because Faust isn't going to play anytime soon. And Scrivens just hasn't been the guy that they hoped that he would be. So I don't know what you do. I don't think you can go out and get another goaltender right now. You know, I suppose you can scour the trade market, but how are you going to get a number two center? I mean, everybody's looking for them. It looks grim up in Edmonton. And if you're the people running the organization, you are probably out of ideas right now.
Is Dallas Eakin's job in jeopardy? Because they've already had so many coaching changes. You'd think they'd want to be very patient with him, and yet they look totally out of joint.
Yeah, I was there for 3 days, and I didn't have that sense. I thought, of course, you know, it's always easy when you're there at the start of the season, and the optimism was running great before the home opener against the Flames. And I think they really believed that they were on the right track there. And also that they felt that making another coaching change would be completely counterproductive because, as you say, they have made so many of them. And, you know, probably if you could, you know, create a do-over, you might say to yourself, geez, firing Ralph Kruger, that was probably a bad idea. And, you know, but you can't do that. I mean, you know, life doesn't give you those kinds of second chances. So I think that they and themselves, unless it goes really, really bad for an extended period here, I think they want to commit to Dallas Eakins for at least this year and see where they're at, see if they can eventually get on the same page. I know, you know, Taylor Hall told me at the start of the season that was one of the things he was most looking forward to, the fact that for the first time really since he started playing that he doesn't have to walk in there in September and shake the hands of a new coach, that there would be some continuity in the system and that they would be able to build on what they accomplished in the second half last year. Because really the final third of last year was not terrible for Edmonton. I mean, they were behind the, you know, so far because of, you know, of the mediocre goaltending at the start of the year. And yeah, you can never read too much into, you know, playing out garbage time and thinking that you can maybe carry that play forward into the new season. But those kids were going to be a year older. And I don't know, it seemed plausible, you know, when you were sort of having the discussion in the abstract that they would be able to improve. And one of the reasons would be the stability behind the bench. So, but you're right, it looks like a fire drill out there. And that is often put on coaching. And so it will be interesting to see how things evolve in the next couple of weeks. I mean, a couple of wins, you know, takes the pressure off of everybody. So I think that's really what they need right now. They need to get home and settle down and win a couple games and get Nugent Hopkins back and then sort of, you know, hope that this is just one of those early season aberrations like it was with the Rangers last year, and you can come out of it. Because, boy, oh boy, I'm sure that the people in Edmonton are starting to peel off those jerseys and getting ready to hurl them on the ice if this continues.
Well, even with, if the pieces come back, like Hopkins, even with those pieces, are they good enough? I mean,
I don't think they are yet. Yeah. No, I think you know, people have asked me this a lot, and it's crazy to say that the Flames, in the short period of time that they've kind of gone back to square one and then started the rebuild, seem to be further ahead. And you wonder about that sometimes. Even look at it. Let's introduce the Los Angeles Kings into the conversation for a minute. Why is it that they can get a player like Tyler Toffoli in the second round and then a player like Tanner Pearson at the end of the first round? Tanner Pearson was the last player chosen in the first round. I think most of us knew him because he made Canada's national junior team that year, but he'd been passed over a couple times in the draft. So what is it that the Kings saw in these two guys? And then what is it about the culture that they've got going in Los Angeles that they can put them in the minors for a while, let them develop, and when they come into the NHL, they look like players? I mean, those two kids, along with Jeff Carter, that's one of the best lines in the National Hockey League right now. And L.A. did not have to go back to, you know, finish last to get them. These aren't, you know, like a Nugent Hopkins or a Yakupov, a first overall pick. These are just guys that organizationally they developed and are, and at a very young age, look like they're going to be productive NHLers this year, next year, in the years to come. So I think it's a combination of all those things. But you know, if you're trying to move up in the standings like Edmonton is, and then you see a team like Los Angeles, I mean, they're virtually the same age. And then people talk about the Oilers being this young team, and yeah, they'll eventually get it. I think when they played the other night, I think the average age, I think the Oilers' average age was like a half a year less than LA's. LA's young, too. They're young, too, and they've got a young goaltender coming up behind Quick, and they've got an established goaltender. It's going to be hard to make up ground on a team like that because they're not going backwards anytime soon. So, yeah, it's a big, giant mess, and I'm glad I'm not the guy running the team there.
Does it speak to the importance of the character side of things? I mean, I've always believed in it, probably because that was the only reason I played. So. But
because you were a character?
Well, yeah. But honestly, you can have all the talent in the world.
Right.
And if you don't have the character guys in that dressing room, does it not just tell people how important that piece to the puzzle is?
Sure, but isn't that the whole point of bringing in Fane and Nikitin and Pouliot and Purcell? The idea that and they've been trying to change that supporting cast.
Not one of those guys screams character to me.
Really? Okay. Well,
not one.
I don't. You know what? I talked to Pouliot for the first time last week. I was impressed with him. You know, I actually thought he was a really good choice there. Why? Because he was a fifth overall pick. Minnesota, and he was just like their kids, was a guy that took some time to get there, but I think finally did get there. You know, and sometimes that development arc is not as consistent as you want it to be. So I thought that, you know, a guy like him, having endured that, would be a great mentor for Yakupov, Dreisaitl, some of these other kids that are coming in, because he went through it, you know, so he should be able to sit down with those guys and say, okay, it doesn't happen instantly, but, you know, keep pushing, you know, develop better habits, and you become a better player. I thought that was a great signing. And Purcell, the same thing. I mean, he's a guy that, again, I don't know him that well, but I think that, you know, he does have some character, and he does have some ability, and I think that those were upgrades over what they had. Now, you know, like, you talk about wanting to inject that in the dressing room. I mean, if you have it, a lot of times you don't want to let it go. Like, the teams go out and re-sign their character guys because they know it's important. I mean, talent is one thing, but within sort of the circle of leadership in a dressing room, sometimes you find odd guys. Like, why is that guy in there? Because, he just has that ability. Vernon Fiddler, I mean, a perfect example of a guy that's moved around a few times in his career, but coaches wanted him there because he brought that character intangible, that work ethic intangible, and had a long career as a result of that. So I think that they legitimately believe, within the context of who they could recruit, because not everybody wants to go to Edmonton, that they had addressed that issue this year and that they'd improved that character element of their team. And we haven't seen it so far, but I think internally they're hoping that they see it eventually there.
Eric, appreciate it as always, pal. Have a fine weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. Eric Dehatchik, our NHL insider.